Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia, along with Cullen Steele, running things behind the scenes, making sure we all coordinated and supervised. And at 5:45, Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. In about 10 minutes, we'll have on with the Saints radio color analyst Deuce McAllister talking about the Saints. Also, the upcoming game Monday night against the Kansas City Chiefs, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. And at 5:20, Brad Evans join us from BetMGM tonight. And the 6:25 range, Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter and WWL digital content producer, will join us to weigh in on the Devontae Adams trade talks and where he might end up, and also the Monday night matchup versus the Chiefs. Charlie and I spoke so much about it yesterday, and then certainly news breaks this morning from Adam Schefter saying the Jets, Saints are certainly in the mix here, I think, along with the Pittsburgh Steelers for Devontae Adams. At least that's where he's asking to go. I think the Jets are the clear front runner right now for Devontae Adams. Certainly his connection with their quarterback there and Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron's got the ear of the owner. I mean, basically he's made it clear, he wanted Aaron Rodgers, and he got him, and he'll do whatever he can to sort of please him. And that may be paying market price for Devontae Adams. I always look at it this way. If you want someone bad enough on your team, and I know the contract is pretty rich for Devontae Adams, but the Saints aren't paying any other wide receiver or tight end. You can make it work if you want to. That's why I never bought Jerry Jones's comments about Derrick Henry. The asking price was too much. Come on, Derrick Henry wasn't asking for $20 million a year. I never bought that comment from Jerry Jones. Price is certainly a piece of the puzzle when you acquire somebody like Devontae. I think the most important thing, though, when you get a player of his ilk is, one, you know he's going to help you. He could help 31 other NFL teams in the National Football League. He's that good. Now, he is 31 years old. He'll turn 32 in December. I think December 24th is his birthday, but still, that always going to play a little bit of a factor in on price. But it comes down to what you have to give up compensation-wise for a guy like Devontae Adams. And secondly, looking into the telescope, how is he going to fit in 2025? He's not a one-year guy. He's going to be a multi-year player for you. So I think that comes into play when you look at acquiring someone in their 30s, who still has football gas left in the tank. What are you willing to give up? Now, I'm not giving up a second-round pick. Now, maybe the Jets will, but I wouldn't at this stage. And I think that was the initial asking price when you look at it, a second-round pick and maybe something else. I think it won't be that much, but it'll be multiple draft choices, most likely for the Raiders. And so it'll be, what are you willing to give up, and how does he fit on your football team, not only for this year but also for 2025? So it's always, when you're acquiring a veteran player, I think those are keys. Again, money is always a little bit of a part of it. But if you want a guy bad enough, you can make it work. For any team, they can make it work. Interesting that the Jets, and also a lot of talk out of Pittsburgh, the Steelers showing a lot of interest in Devontae. And remember, they were in talks with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. So they're looking for a guy that can help out Justin Fields at quarterback in that pitch and catch part of the game. So we'll get Deuce's comments on that along with Jeff Nowak's thoughts. Again, it breaks down to a little bit of money, a little bit of considering the age, a lot, though, having to do with fit on your team and the look in 2025, but you want to win in 2024. If you're willing to do that, he'll certainly help any team that he goes to. And I think compensation is the big key. What are you willing to give up to get Devontae Adams? And I think of all the teams, probably the Jets would be willing to give you up more than someone else. I know they're in the AFC. I see some of these odds about Kansas City. There's no way if I'm the Raiders, unless they make me an offer, a Godfather offer, I'm not dealing him to another AFC West team, and especially Kansas City, who you dislike so much. That's not a dislike, as a hate between one another there. So, well, we'll keep you up to breast here on anything that happens possibly with Devontae Adams, and also hoping to get him tomorrow, and he's trying to make it work schedule-wise. But Steve Foley went to Jesuit High School, terrific quarterback at Jesuit High School in New Orleans, goes to Tulane, and a signature player there at quarterback, and initially signs on with the old World Football League, played 1 year there before going to Denver. He will be honored this weekend. He'll be on the Broncos Ring of Honor, along with Riley Odoms. If you old enough, you remember Riley. He's in the Hall of Very Good. I mean, if there was that such place, he would be in there. He was a terrific tight end for the Broncos in the 70s. And they're also honoring another member of that Orange Crush defense. He got into Pro Football's Hall of Fame this year. Randy Gradishar at linebacker. So want to congratulate Steve, and we're hoping – I talked to him this afternoon. We're hoping to make plans to get him sometime tomorrow on with Steve and I on Sports Talk here on the Big 870. We'll be back with Deuce McAllister right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Had a little glitch there for a little while, but we all back to normal. Cullen got us back rocking and rolling on our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. The Saints radio color analyst, Deuce McAllister. Deuce, man, I saw the feature you did with Cooper Manning. Come on, it took you that long to get on Cooper's deal? Man, I can't believe it.
I told him I got beef with him, too. I mean, it's just, you know, we got to talk to management. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, but it was a good deal, though. I enjoyed listening to it and watching it. Deuce, we'll get this right out the way quickly. Devontae Adams, we talked about this yesterday, and I told Charlie last week when Antonio Pierce sort of threw that deal, we got guys here making business decisions. I said, Charlie, that's not about no regular guy. I think he pointed that finger at Devontae at that point. Now, it may have been others, but I think he pointed it at him. I've always believed that, okay, money, if you want a guy bad enough, you can make it work. Now, sometimes it's difficult, but I think you can always make it work. I think it comes down to what will the Raiders want compensation-wise? And they've said, I want a second and something else. You're not going to get that for Devontae, to be honest with you, unless you're really overpaying for him. He is 31 and he'll be 32 in December. And also, if I'm the acquiring team, I look at it for what he can do me this year, and he can help me. He can help any team in the NFL. But also, this is an acquisition, too, for 2025. Your thoughts on Devontae, because it seemingly has come to a head there that he's not much longer in Vegas. And I think the team most likely to get him would be the Jets, because he's Aaron Rodgers' guy. And Aaron has got the ear of the owner. I mean, he can call Woody Johnson up and say, hey, this is who I want on the team. We want him now. And I think the owner would probably overpay to get him compensation-wise.
No, I agree with you 100% on all fronts. I mean, as far as the Saints are concerned, obviously the Saints can make it work. It may take some maneuvering, and it may take even some overpaying if you're going to ask the Raiders to, hey, I want you to absorb XYZ, you know, when you talk about salary, because I think it's close to right at $1 million every week that he's with the team, that his salary goes down up until the November the 5th trade deadline. So it's basically going to be a situation where, yes, the Saints can convert the salary. You can do signing bonus, add voided years. Yes, they can play that game, but I still don't know if that is enough to get them where they need to be from a financial standpoint. So the other part of it becomes they still want to have some flexibility because, as we know, there will be injuries for their team already. And so with injuries, you have to be able to sign other guys. And so when I do these signings of other players, I have to have funding available. And so that's one reason that you need some flexibility as far as your own salary cap. The other is obviously to be able to pursue some type of trade. So can they restructure a deal of two of someone's? Yes, they could. Will they? I'm not sure. Would they listen? Have they probably talked? Probably pretty sure. Probably, you know, they probably had wind of this before it even broke, just because of some of the relationships that you have, you know, with the quarterback, with the receivers coach, being, you know, really, really close and obviously coaching Devontae. So at the end of the day, can they do it? Yes. Will they do it? I don't know, you know, and that's something that they're going to have to kind of decide and figure out, hey, you know, does he help us? Of course he does. But is this a short-term 2 to 3 year deal, or is it something that, you know, it's only a 1 year deal? That's what they've got to figure out.
Deuce, I know Bob and I have talked about this. You can't spot somebody 14 points and expect to win. You know, in those type games, you might win one out of 20 times if you played. The other 19, you go down. And in this rivalry game with the Falcons, you know, the muff punt that turned into a touchdown, then you get a tip pass, goes up in the air. Man, Troy Anderson, man, he played one hell of a game. I remember him when he was at Montana State, and we got him to go to the Senior Bowl, and he probably went from, I would say, a late fourth-round pick into the second round. And he really good football player, not a small guy, and he went to Montana State. He was quarterback, running back, halfback. And then they finally grew out of all that, and he became – a linebacker, but you can't spot a team 14 points and expect to win in this league.
No, it's very hard. And it's, you know, I guess it's really a testament to your defense that they kept you in that game up until that point. You know, obviously we know what happened on the last play, but teams are going to have a little momentum. Teams are going to be able to take advantage of it, and you can't hurt yourself like that. I mean, it's really been, I guess you would say, back-to-back weeks where the Saints offensively as well as defensively just have had mistakes. I mean, they have not been clean the last 2 weeks as they were the first 2 weeks. And, you know, I don't want to say an opponent matter. Yes, it does. But how you go out and execute matters as well. And so if you can't go out and execute to the level that you need to be, then it's going to be very, very hard to win in this league. And so you're a good enough team where you can win and play with pretty much – nearly every team in the NFL. But even the worst team, they can beat you if you're going to give them points and you're going to make mistakes that you can't overcome.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Deuce, look at the upcoming game against Kansas City. They winning it with defense. Man, their front seven is really good. And despite trading Darius Sneed to the Tennessee Titans, their secondary is pretty doggone good, too. Kansas City's winning this year is very reminiscent of a year ago. They won with defense early, and then the offense kind of hit a little bit of a traction, and they were able to close it out pretty well. But you see them on offense without Isaiah Pacheco. They're a different running team. And then, you know, Hollywood Brown, he didn't even hit the starting gates. He was out before the opening game. Rashee Rice, it doesn't look good for him. How many weeks he missed is still up in the air, but, you know, he ain't playing Monday night. And I think the big part of it, too, that we are watching a guy who's still a good player in Travis Kelce. Still good, and he can still beat you. But he's in the winter years of his NFL career. And you saw them sort of try to change offensively because I think Andy realizes that. He tried to change. I think this game is going to be razor close between Saints Chiefs. I just feel that, you know, that offense is not going to be a team that's going to put up a lot of points unless you help them.
No, I agree with you. And, I mean, it's still Travis Kelce over there, so you can't just discount him completely. And I think it all starts with Mahomes. I mean, I don't know if you can rattle the guy, but he's going to give you some chances. And because he trusts his receivers, he trusts that they're going to be where they're supposed to be. And the question becomes, can you make a play? Can you go out there and make a play? And you're going to have to consistently do it. And, you know, when you talk about them defense, we can talk about every player on that defense.
Man.
There's one player.
One guy.
There is.
And I was going to ask you about him.
You better know where he is every snap. When he is on the sideline, you better be jumping up and down saying, there he is. I still know where he's at. Chris Jones, it starts with him. He lines up at the nose. He lines up at the three technique. He lines up at the left defensive end. He lines up at the right defensive end. He will go across the board. He is looking for the mismatch. And then their defense is basically predicated on pressure. And what I mean by that, they don't mind going zero. They don't mind bringing guys and saying, hey, we can play sound defense on the back end, even if we bring an extra guy, and we feel like that you're not going to make the right read. So it's going to be a huge challenge. I thought the offensive line played well, really, really well against Atlanta. But you're going to see, just like Atlanta hit you with some zero blitzes, you're going to see the same thing. I mean, you're going to get zoned off. You're going to get three strong. You're going to get four strong. They're going to give it, and they want to see what you can pick up and what you can't pick up.
Deuce, I was talking to Pete Jenkins in the summer, and he was telling me this. He said, man, Mike, Aaron Donald, in all my years, and he said, it's over 50. He said, I think he's the best interior pass rusher I've ever seen. Now, he said, his run defense play it doesn't match his ability to get a pass rush. But he said, Chris Jones, when he wants to, he can take over a game like very few people that have ever put on a helmet, shoulder pads, and a jock strap. He's that good. Now, he said, no, sometimes, his rev button isn't pushed all the way in. But if it is, you got problems. And we saw Super Bowl Sunday when, you know, I don't know how he didn't get blocked, but he came in scot-free. And Purdy's got an open receiver in the end zone, and then here comes Chris Jones. He influenced that play, and it was an overshoot. He couldn't make the play because Chris Jones was on top of him. That guy is, if you talk about a game changer up front, he's it. Talk a little bit about your first time in seeing Chris Jones here. He's from the Mississippi area. And I remember
Houston, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Coach. Houston, Mississippi, Ole Miss, Coach Freeze thought he had him, probably was 95% a done deal to Oxford, and you know, we'll just say some pretty good NIL back in the day went on, and Chris ends up at Mississippi State, and a lot of people didn't know about it. Chris was not a guy that was going to camps and wasn't going. I mean, there were certain coaches that knew about Chris Jones as far as the football player from Houston, Mississippi, and it literally was like, I think it was All-Star time when people started to figure it out. And Chris, I think it was a Mississippi-Alabama All-Star game. Guy just blows up. And he played maybe one more All-Star game, and by that time it was too late. You know, it was a done deal with Mississippi State. Chris Jones went from a no-name or two-star to a five-star within like 3 weeks. And we're talking about why the season is between playoff and ending of the season. No camps, none of that. And it's just like, man, where did this guy come from? He's like, oh, yeah, he's been here. He's just been hit a little bit by some coaches. And, Mike, I agree with you, whether it's playing the run, whether it's rushing the passer, and you normally don't have a guy that's quick enough to be able to line up at defensive end like he is, but he's quick enough and he's long enough where he can line up at defensive end. It's not just going to be a power or a bull. He's got enough moves to be able to take on a tackle where it's like, wait, I thought you were a three technique, or I thought you lined up at the nose last time. What are you doing out here? But, I mean, you're going to see him at every position up on the defensive line.
Deuce, the running back position for the Saints, okay, we know that Alvin is fighting the rib injuries. Who knows with Taysom Hill gets banged up again. Okay, boy, if there's ever a time, Kendra Miller, it's now. And you spoke about this in the summer about he has got to get his body in shape for a 17-game season. Sure enough, first day after he does the all the drills and all that conditioning, goes down with an injury. We ain't seen him since. How close do you think Kendra Miller is to come back? And we know he's talented, but can he stay healthy? Because seemingly now with Alvin with the rib injury, Taysom, he's being banged up too, left side, right side. This is the time that it would be Kendra Miller time. Is he ready?
Normally I would say, hey, let's get him a week or two of practice, you know, because you have the 21-day window. I don't know if the Saints have that luxury. I think it may be a situation where, hey, Kendra, I know what you've been doing. Now, I'll tell you this. He has been very diligent as far as going to rehab, being able to come to meetings, being able to go to practice and be a part. But you can't practice. All you can do is look. That's all he's been doing. So for the last 4 weeks, he's been engaged. I think he's in a good place mentally, where he's been able to hopefully knock on wood. Now, I'm not on the social, like, stalking players and stuff like that, so I don't know when I say this, but hopefully he's in a good place mentally to where it's just ball. I want a ball. I want to play. And if he's in that space, I would normally say, can I get 30 plays out of this young man? Nah, Mike, can I get 10 plays out of this young man? And of those 10 plays, six of them are going to be carries.
Yes.
Can I get 15 plays out of this young man? Out of those 15 plays, seven or eight will be carries. And so that's kind of where you are, because you've got to lighten the workload for Alvin Kamara. I mean, Alvin has battled. He's fought. He's given you everything you could have asked for and more up until this point. But if you continue down the road that you're going with him, you're not going to be able to ask for it anymore, because he ain't going to have anything to give you.
Yeah, the train's going to come to a stop somewhere along the line. Deuce, I expect that there'll probably be some more shuffling across the offensive line, especially if you can get Cesar Ruiz back healthy for Monday night. To be honest with you, I didn't think Shane Lemieux would play as well as he did. It's the first time he's ever played center in an NFL game, regular season NFL game. I thought he did a solid job at center. But I think, again, if Ruiz is healthy, we're going to see a little bit of a shuffle across the offensive line again against the Chiefs.
Yeah. I don't know. And the only reason I say that is I think that you have a little bit of confidence in what you were able to do. I don't know if I want to go and break that confidence up. I know if Landon is not available, then maybe I can use him as my extra lineman. They really haven't used that package a ton this year, and I don't know if the Chiefs is an opponent that you would want to do that against, but it just gives you a few more options. And so that's obviously going to be a personnel decision that they make and what gives them the best opportunity to win. You know, obviously if Caesar's healthy, then he's going to be out there. It's just a matter of who are the other four linemen that he's out there with.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and your insights, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us here on Sports Talk.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
All righty. Deuce McAllister, Saints radio color analyst. And you can join Deuce, myself, and Bobby Saturday, 1 to 4. We'll be at Rouse's. And so come tell us hello with Deuce and Bobby J, myself there. Rouse's, 1 to 4 this coming Saturday. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Jimmy, hold on. We'll go to you right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Deuce McAllister again for joining us on our weekly segment. Thank God Charlie Long ain't here, because I just saw it. The Houston Astros lose to Detroit 5-2. The Tigers have won their first postseason series since 2013. So, man, we might have had to call the paramedics out.
It's a good thing you guys are on location tomorrow.
Yeah. But, man, I know Charlie. Man, he really took that one real hard. He took it hard yesterday with the loss. So I know today would have been just as bad. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike. All right. Maybe Jimmy stepped away. Let's go to James in New Orleans. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Cullen.
Hey, guys, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the Tigers because I was watching that. I didn't know Charlie was big on the Astros.
What?
I was
actually my God. That's number one priority for him, James. Number one.
Okay. Okay. Well, but the Saints are my priority, you know. But so, listen, it's funny because I'm watching the game and doing what I normally do, and the Falcons were 89% in zone coverage. They were trying to protect other corners. What is it, Hughes and
Michael
and
Hughes. Yeah.
Right, and they only blitzed 12 times, and they made it six of those times they got to Derek. Listen, Derek is. He just panics when he comes to the blitz, you know. And I know, you guys are talking about running backs, but if I'm not mistaken, isn't Fournette still on the practice squad with Buffalo? I mean, he's still on the practice squad. And nothing against Mims, but he's too light in the pants right now. We need a guy that can break tackles. The thing that really ticked me off about it, the Falcon game, was they have such a light defensive line for a 3-4 unit. They're very light in the pants, and I mean we had that game in the bag up until Taysom. We're overusing him. I mean, I know you guys are talking about. I heard you and Deuce talking about AK, but Taysom. I mean, you know, he's like Mr. October to me. You know, not just October, but all season. He's the Reggie Jackson. He's the star that stirs the drink for the team, and he's playing. He's doing too much. You know, they're using him like he's 22 instead of 34, 33, or whatever he is. So, I'm hopeful that we can get a more physical back in there. I don't understand for the life of me, you know, why they don't consider Fournette. I mean, he's not my favorite guy, nothing like that, but he is exactly. What you need, he could block, he could catch. He would be good pass pro, like I'm saying. Dan, what's this thing about Devontae Adams? I mean, I just kind of chimed in.
Okay, with Devontae, he basically threw his, you know, legal team, his lawyers and his agent has asked for a trade. And we've talked about this yesterday. He wasn't specific about where he wanted to go. But it didn't take too long to figure out one was the Jets because of Aaron Rodgers, his relationship with Aaron in Green Bay, and secondly with Derek Carr. He played dog. He's been friends with Carr for a long time, and he's worked out in the offseason with Saints wide receiver coach Keith Williams. And Keith recruited him coming out of high school. So that's a long history there. The thing is, what are you willing to give up to get him? Because financially, come on, James, we both know. If you want somebody, you can make it work financially. You can maneuver contracts, whatever. But is what do I have to give up to get him? And I think at this stage, the Jets are the one team that would be willing to give up more than any other team in the NFL. And they'll make it work one way or another. And you got Aaron Rodgers in the ear of Woody Johnson, the owner. That's who I want. You know, Mr. Johnson, this is who I want on this team. Bottom line. So that's where it goes. I know, too, Pittsburgh is another team that has a lot of interest. You and I have talked about this. The Steelers were involved with trade talks with Brandon Ayuk. They wanted him, could not come up with the right compensation. But they're looking for another signature player. Again, you can say for the future, but the future's in 2024. You want to win now. It's all going to be about what you're willing to give up. So that's what it is about Davante Adams. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele running things behind the scenes. Jimmy, I'm going to ask you to hold on. We'll take you at 5:10 when we come back. To repeat, the Houston Astros have been eliminated in the wild card series.
Maybe don't repeat it.
Man, Detroit Lions. Detroit Tigers. You talk about a baseball team that got hot at the right time. And they now, they go into postseason first time since 2013. It's been a long road for them. And keeping you up to date, Kansas City Royals have a 1-0 lead over the Baltimore Orioles, and they lead the series 1-0 also over the Orioles. So we'll keep you up to breath on that particular game. At 5:20, Brad Evans will join us from BetMGM tonight. Also, Odyssey Sports, BetQL, talking about this week's game. We'll also throw in maybe a baseball question or two about what he thinks will happen. But, man, give the Tigers a lot of credit. I think 2 months ago, nobody would have said that.
I mean,
that.
Hey, I got to ask Charlie when I see him tomorrow.
Man, like, you better be careful asking Charlie.
If there's a team he was going to be okay with, he wouldn't be okay with losing. But if there's a team he was going to be okay with losing to, would it be the Tigers?
Maybe. Charlie's one of those guys that would throw them headsets knowing them Astros lost. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.